Old Down Under. Turn this banger up. Not a bomb, judging Aussie tunes. Aussie music, mate. Alternative Down Under. Alternative Down Under.
Old Down Under here with Luke Scanlon, episode 9. Would you look at that? Welcome back to the show and thanks again for tuning in. Guys, I always say it, but it does actually really help out. Give us a follow and a subscribe on our channels. If you listen via Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever it might be, please just click that little button and it really does help me out. I hope you've had a good week, and I'm going to mention this in the interview in this episode. I've just come off the back of a 38-hour fasting. I did it at work for my day job because I got challenged live on air on the radio to see if I can do it, because apparently it's something that boosts your efficiency. All I can say is I was spaced out to fuck. By the evening, after about 28 hours, I just felt high, man. And just tired. Weirdly, though, did not feel hungry when I woke up. So I don't know what the situation is there, but had some scrambled eggs, smashed a chocolate bar at like 7 in the morning. It's like the diet of a 5-year-old if mum and dad aren't around. I'm back with a bang. All I could have was water, coffee, and tea for 38 hours. It was actually meant to be 36, but I was too tired, so I pushed it back by 2 hours because I could not be asked to wake up. So just a heads up ahead of the interview, if I seem a bit weird and not quite with it, that is the reason, because it was about 7 p.m, so I hadn't eaten for about 26-ish hours by that point. So, anyway, today's interview is with a brilliant artist local to me here in Melbourne. It is Jacob Fitzgerald and The Electric City. Before we dive into that interview, there's one thing I do need to do. Obviously, it's award season at the moment. Everyone's losing their mind in the mainstream. We've got Taylor Swift announcing a new album whilst accepting an award for another album. She broke some record, I think, for Grammy album wins, album of the year wins. But I'm like, come on now, just, you've had your moment. Just get off the stage. Come on now. One album I did want to mention. This band are kicking off in a big way. Really tipped for a huge year ahead. And they are called The Last Dinner Party. Their debut album, Prelude to Ecstasy, has just come out. And it's just a wonderfully put together album. And if you're kind of fans of someone like Kate Bush, then this is down your street, I reckon. And you've probably heard of them already. But the track you probably do know best is called Nothing Matters. And it's just anthemic, and a band I'm really wishing I can go back home and see, and or they come out this way, and then I'll definitely get them on the pod for a chat.
Alternative Down Under.
All right, let's stop mucking about and get into this episode's interview. This time, our featured artist is a fantastic Melbourne-based artist that has really got true rock and roll at the core of their music. Real fun live. I caught them supporting Seagulls. They've got another huge support slot next month when they support Pacific Avenue up in Sydney. And just an artist that really loves their craft. Here is my chat with Jacob Fitzgerald of Jacob Fitzgerald and The Electric City. Jacob Fitzgerald, welcome to All Down Under. How's it going, man?
Very well, thanks, dude. Appreciate you having me on. How are you going?
I'm good. I just said before we start recording, I need to confess something, mate, because part of my day job, I'm doing this stupid thing to see if it makes me more productive, because the UK Prime Minister does it, and he fasts from 5 p.m. on Sunday evening through to 5 a.m. on Tuesday morning. So I'm in the middle of like a 36-hour fasting situation. So if I fall asleep on the call, it's not because I find you boring.
Dude, that sounds like my fucking nightmare, honestly. That is chaotic, but hey, props to you. It works for you, it works for you. Good on you.
I've got I'm yet to decide if it does work for me. At work, I've been fine. I've got about, how long have I got left? 10 hours to go. So I just feel like a bit emotional now.
Yeah, fair enough too. If you are, if you need to whip out a Snickers bar or something during the interview, I won't tell anyone.
This
alrighty?
Is it. Yeah, nice one. So I was just going to pre-warn you, if I do tell you I love you, it's the lack of food talking.
Fair enough. I'll take it as a compliment, but I will acknowledge that it is the lack of food.
Beautiful. But, mate, that is actually quite a nice segue because I do love you and your music. So just for context, this chat came about because you were supporting Seagulls at the Corner. I can't remember the date now. It was a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, 25th of, yeah, mate, of days last month.
What's going on with 2024, man? Honestly,
it's going flying. Too quick, man. Way too quick.
It is flying. But mate, you've had some really good, you've got Pacific Avenue in Sydney on March the 9th, I believe, at Oxford Art Factory. Mate, really decent little support slots you're getting. That must be really cool when that comes about. And just for people that don't really know, how does that come about? Because I know sometimes it is a case of DM sliding, but how's it happen for you?
Well, first of all, before we get into that, I want to say thanks for buying a tee. That was how our conversation came about. You bought a shirt, and it—I've never seen it look better on anyone, dude. You're repping the lightning bolt T-shirt, like no one else can. So, thank you for buying merch. That's
mate, it's beautiful.
That's how we get our start,
I did actually say on the previous episode that I was going to wear it for this interview, but I completely forgot I wore it and it's in the wash.
Hey, so, man, well, I appreciate you wearing it regardless, whether it's today or any other day. That's awesome. But to answer your question, a lot of the bookings come from my agent, Jaden. He does a lot of hustling behind the scenes on pitching us for shows. And we're in a funny period now where I guess we're sort of, we're not exactly small fry, but we're still small fry compared to the bigger acts, So we're able to sort of get some good wins on the board. We've become quite close with the Pac Ave boys, and we've played some, start of the year, we've played with Seagulls, who are, from the UK, and we've played the Corner Hotel for the first time. So we're sort of slowly making a name for ourselves, and I think it helps that we're, in my opinion, we're quite a good support act. We get the crowd singing and dancing and screaming, which is, that's our job. If we win fans, that's ideal. But at the end of the day, when you're a support act, you have one job, and that is to warm up the crowd. And I take great pride in what the boys and I do as a support act.
Yeah, mate, you did a very good job of doing just that, warming the crowd up for Seagulls. When I saw you were supporting, I was like, oh, fuck yeah, okay, let's go. And then that was the first time I'd seen you actually play live, but you're so good live, man. And it's just kind of pure fun rock and roll live, isn't it? It's just
yeah, it's a bit boisterous.
It's got a classic sound. Yeah, it's boisterous, it's got a classic sound. And I could just tell you're just so within the moment. It's great.
Yeah, it's been such a fun sort of, I guess, exploration, because we have ended up sort of landing in this rock and roll territory, and it's very sort of big band sound. And I guess I say boisterous, it's not boisterous in a sonic palette. It's actually sort of a bit more sort of small scale in that sense, but we like to captivate eyes and ears. And I think bringing back the art of the front man, there's a lot of, the indie rock scene in Australia is very sort of four piece dominated. I hid behind a guitar for a very long time, and I grew up listening to Springsteen, and I love the Stones, and I realized that being a front man is an art form in itself. And I think that's kind of, yeah, what's bringing the rock and roll element is that I get to jump around and be a bit of a lunatic for a bit, which is good fun.
That's what it's all about. And there was some great crowd interaction going on that night as well, man. But in terms of, so that's quite interesting, saying that you were behind a guitar for so long. Where can you pinpoint the moment where you were like, okay, I want to be behind the mic, giving it some, being the man at the front?
Yeah, I'm not sure what the exact moment was, but it just sort of naturally came about. It was, I think we had two songs in the set, it might've been like a 15 song set, a headline show. There were two songs where I ditched the guitar and sort of attempted to strut around and not be awkward on stage, And then I just got feedback that it was really good. It felt a bit more natural. I've always been a little bit of a show off. I like to suck a lot of the energy out of the room and, you know, sort of captivate people in that way. And I guess it's just, yeah, once we pushed that snowball down the hill, it just started gaining momentum, and that's just where we kind of landed, you know?
Yeah, mate, big, big fan of that. And going back to what you said about what other bands are like as well, I do. It's definitely a thing where it's like, too cool to look like we're having fun sort of thing. Do you know what I mean? It's like that fucking, let's do the moody look.
For sure, for sure.
Because we're a post-punk band. As much as I fucking love post-punk, it's like, someone smile.
Yeah, it's a funny thing. Like, we get paid to do something that I do for free. And that's real fun, you know? So it's kind of hard for me to not smile when I'm up there. But I guess for some people, the way that they share their art is a bit more subdued and a bit more, I guess, as you said, moody. But that ain't us. We like to have fun and smile and get a bit silly with our fans.
Got to be done, man. And just for those that don't know, so obviously you are with the Electric City when you're live.
Correct.
Tell us about how you guys met. And also, mate, I had a few beers by the time we spoke. So what was this? You have to remind me the story, because I do remember thinking you have to get a better story for your broken arm than what you have.
Rick Hollywood, our lead guitarist, you know, you called a funny gig. He's just mended his broken arm, which I won't out him on a podcast telling him the story, but it is a pretty lame story of how he broke his arm. But to answer your question, yeah, I play when we're a band, we are Jacob Fitzgerald and the Electric City. It didn't really feel right to be just Jacob Fitzgerald, because, you know, the boys, the band, they're such a important part of what we do, of the sound of the show. So that's more just a nod to when you're seeing a show, you're seeing Jacob Fitzgerald, but you're also seeing the gaggle of misfits that come along with that. So that's we love a nickname in our outfit too, so no one actually gets called by their real name. So Rick plays lead guitar, Manners is on bass, the kid McKean, he's on drums, and we had a good friend of ours fill in for us, Bailey Judd, the night that you came to watch us. But yeah, the Electric City, it's a four piece with me at the front, and it's good fun.
Yeah, man, that's great. I love those nicknames as well, because it does kind of feel like you are tying it in again with that old school rock and roll element where everyone did seem to have, well, stage names, I guess.
Yeah, I don't know what it is. I think it started a long time ago, way before music came into my life, but I've always been a nickname person. If I have a nickname for you, that's what you're known as. My phone is full of weird names, so God forbid I'm ever in trouble and need to tell someone to call, you know, such and such, because they're probably in my phone as, you know, Captain Feathersword or something else. So it's a good time. It's a good time to have a nickname in our outfit.
Yeah, definitely, man. I have to ask on that. So, mate, apologies, by the way, because sometimes this used to be the case. I don't know if this is the case now. If you ever used to screenshot someone's Instagram story, it would let them know. And I had to screenshot yours because it really made me laugh. You were like, a month ago, I cut my shit hair off. Now I've got this terrible haircut. Did you have any nicknames through that? And why was there so much hatred? Why was there so much hatred for the haircut?
I didn't have any nicknames for the bad haircut stint, but I'd recently chopped off my luscious long locks.
I can see the sadness in your face.
Yeah, I mean, it's come back. It's actually all right now. I've come to terms with it. But I had long hair, long, beautiful, curly hair for a while. And, you know, I think it might have just been summertime, man. You know, it gets hot under all that head of hair. So I just, yeah, I cut it off. But we had a bit of a miscommunication. The fella that decided to cut my locks, I told him I wanted a certain length, and apparently that was code for let's not listen to Jacob and let's do something else. So it was more just it was just a bad haircut, to be honest, man. There's nothing cool about the story.
mate, it looks good, the hair. It was look good. No. It still moves about when you're on stage.
Well, that's it. You know, I can still sort of shake it about and it's still curly, so I can't complain too much. But I'm eating a lot of my crust on my toast these days. I'm trying to get these long, luscious curls back, you know?
Grow it back, man. Yeah. Mate, I tell you what, though. I think most guys can probably recount the time where they have been to the barber and they've just lopped off way more. I don't know about you, I made the mistake of getting in a real conversation, and I think it just distracts them from what they're actually doing.
Absolutely, and he probably thought I was the worst person in the world because I just kept being silent almost, looking at this absolute monstrosity. But no, look, I mean, it could be worse. It's hair. It grows back. So, and yeah, lucky for me, it grows back with a vengeance. So I think in a couple of months, it'll be like it never left.
This is true. I also think any guy that has had a bad haircut, you know, at the end of the trim, and then they hold up the mirror and they're like, are you happy with that? No guy has ever gone, no. You go, yeah, nice one, man. Thank you very much.
I just have like a little note app in my phone, and I just put a big ass cross through the salon that I went to, because it's blacklisted now. It doesn't get the Jacob Fitzgerald stamp of approval, that's for sure.
Maybe we need to start an online campaign for somewhere to get a decent trim.
That's it. I'm sure if I did a little bit more research, but it was a bit more spontaneous than I would have liked it to be. So, well, live and learn. We're thriving now, baby.
Almost it's all good. Upwards, man. Almost all upwards. Back to the music then. Tell us about the new track that's coming up, Sophia. What's the release date? What can fans expect? What have you got in store for us?
Yeah, man. Sophia, it's coming out Valentine's Day, which I actually didn't know Valentine's Day was on the 14th of February.
Yeah, sure. But sure.
I haven't had the need for a Valentine's Day in a while, my friend. So I just put it on the middle of Feb, and lo and behold, it fell on the 14th. So yeah, it'll be available 14th of Feb. It's one of our favorite songs to play live. It's immediately sort of connected with fans. We've been playing it for a while now, and it's just kind of this blues rock, pop rock kind of track. It's very, very hooky. It's guaranteed to get stuck in your head, and I think it's some of our best work yet, so I'm very, very excited for it to be out in the world.
Amazing, man. And how much have you got lined up in terms of future releases? Have you got quite a few in the can ready to go? How do you
Absolutely.
Operate in terms of a songwriter?
Yeah, it's over the last little while, we've sort of been what I would be classifying as playing catch up, which I don't typically love. But now we're sort of doing, we got a few in the barrel, which is nice. Our whole year is pretty much planned out with a body of work sort of to be expected around the middle of the year, in probably the EP format. I work pretty closely with Rick in the band. He's producing this, co-producing this one with me, and he's actually currently, we live together. He's currently in the other room mixing some of the final tracks that'll, we've got more than we need for the EP, but we're going to end up with a couple on the cutting room floor. But yeah, there's plenty of music to be heard this year from the Jacob Fitzgerald camp. I'm very excited.
Beautiful stuff. Mate, also, what a setup having the guy that you make tunes with in the same apartment.
Is
that
is
not the greatest setup ever, or do you feel like you can't ever escape it?
No, man. It's my soul brother, the love of my life, the best person I've ever met in the world is Rick Hollywood. All right, and I'm yet to get sick of him. We live together, we work together, we make music together. I'm sure he gets sick of me, but I do not get sick of him. And he's an absolute pleasure to work with. And his brain is all over these tracks, and it's become a really sort of important part for me. You know, we record them in this house, we mix them in this house, and everything is sort of done within the walls. And I feel like it's evident in this sort of new chapter we're in, and it makes it a bit more, there's a lot more pride, you know, when you release a song and everything is done, you know, with the fellas, especially Rick. So it's cool.
Yeah, it's great to hear that it's a real labor of love, man. That's amazing. And it feels like it's quite a collective as well.
Absolutely, yeah. It's like I said earlier, they're a really important part of the sound. You know, I write the songs with them in mind. They put their stamp on it. So it is a collective effort. And it's, even though we had a bit of momentum early on with you know, the Jacob Fitzgerald name, it's the music is definitely a collective of the four of us. So yeah, it's important that, you know, I talk about that, and it's important that people know that the music is coming from all of us, and it's, yeah, I think it's evident. It's really fun.
Yeah, man, 100%. I'm very, very excited for what's to come, man. Big year ahead.
Absolutely. It's gonna be a fun one.
Fuck yeah. Well, Jacob, if you're ready, I think we should head down to the Dream Gig venue.
Absolutely, let's go.
I'll have 2 pints, please. This bed. Get us a couple of frothies, mate. Yeah, boy, yeah. Where are you going to have your dream gig, mate? The Dream Gig venue. Step this way.
Right, Jacob, I'm very intrigued as to what is going to be in your dream gig venue, because you're probably the nicest guest I've had on this show. That's not a big fuck you to every other artist I've spoken to, but you are just the cleanest soul I've had on this show.
Oh man, that's so nice, because you've had some real nice people. I had a deep dive in the podcast earlier, and it's you've had some beautiful interviews, so that is very, very kind of you. I appreciate it.
Good times, man. Well, with that, let's get into it. I need to know, Jacob Fitzgerald, the name of the venue and the capacity you're going for.
Now, I love the idea of a smallish music venue. And I say small, it's not small. Like about the 2,500 mark, yep. You know? Small enough that you can, it's not arena size, but like sweaty enough that there's a lot of people there and you remember the scream of 2,500 people. And I want it to be, I actually put some thought into this, you know.
Love like, that.
As I was going about the day, I was like, this is a great question, man. It's like, you have all the power. And I want the venue to be called the Heartbreaker Club. So it's like, where are you going tonight? We're going to the Heartbreaker Club, right? And then, you know, once you're in the venue, you're a heartbreaker, you know? It's one of the coolest things you can be. It feels ballsy, it feels edgy, and you're listening to live music at the Heartbreaker Club. Like, it's just got a ring to it. It's got zest. I like it.
Yeah, well, maybe you'll pick up a Valentine on the day of the new single coming out at the Heartbreaker Club.
Maybe there's this, yeah, maybe it's all part of my Sophia branding. It's all like in yeah. It's in my subconscious, you know, I'm naming everything around the Valentine's Day date.
It's just one big ploy to get you a date on the 14th of February. Amazing.
That's it. Nah, my only date is Sophia. That is my only date I'll ever need.
Nice, man. Okay, interesting stuff. I need to know the dress code that you're going for.
I wouldn't make this the dress code for every night, but if we did a show there, I'd love a pajama theme, PJ party. Come in your PJs, come just ready for bed. You can come party with Jacob Fitzgerald in the Electric City. You go home and you go straight to bed. No fuss.
To be fair, that is normally me after a gig. I do wake up in the clothes I went to the gig in. So
yeah, if man. I was in you pajamas, and me both.
I could definitely get behind that.
It'd be so comfortable, you know?
Yeah, definitely, Matt. I've had it before when I've gone to a gig and woken up and, like, I wear contact lenses to gigs and I've woken up, I've forgotten to take them out, and it's just, like, the dry eye syndrome.
Oh, man.
Not a fun place to be, man.
Scary. I've seen those videos where people are pulling out contacts from behind the eyelids, man. That's scary stuff. You're a brave soul.
I don't know how that happens, honestly. I've always managed to get them out. I saw a video a while back. Someone had like 20 pairs stuck in their eye. It's like,
yeah, I think we might have been watching the same one, dude.
It's like, surely if you get one stuck, you stop. You don't then keep adding contact lenses.
I mean, I can't speak to that because I don't wear contacts, but I just can't imagine that you wouldn't be able to feel it at the back of your eyeball. That's the only thing. Surely you would be able to feel that shit.
Yeah, I love that we're just both talking like, yeah, we're qualified eye doctors.
Yeah, that's it.
Up next then, mate. What are you going to go for? Free drink on tap and free food?
Well, this is a hard one because I typically don't drink and I don't really eat before a show, which isn't a great habit to be in. But when I do drink, I drink tequila and a lot of it. So maybe I'd do something like, actually, Matthew McConaughey just released a tequila, Pantalones or Pantalones,
yes, about this.
Something like that. I would love that. I would love a bottle of that because I don't think it's available in Australia just yet. So maybe I would request a few bottles of that just to down.
You'd 100% have to say, all right, before every shot of that as well.
Absolutely, yeah. You'd cheers, but you know we'd put the McConaughey catchphrase in there. Absolutely,
definitely. I went out for drinks with a group the other night, and someone was drinking tequila lime soda, and I was like, bit rogue. I've only ever had it in shot form.
Full on. Yeah, me too, man. Tequila shot, no chaser. That's the post show celebration.
Yeah, man. I'm literally going to Mexico in like a month and a bit as well, so I'm gonna be well into my tequila life.
Hell yeah. Well, you can let me know which one we should have if it's not the Pantalones, all right?
You'll just get a random message at a bizarre time of day just with one word.
I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to it.
And you'll know it. You'll know it. Okay then, mate. Dead or alive, support act.
It's a hard one, you know. Usually I'd say someone like Springsteen or the Rolling Stones, but I think I want to save them, you know. So maybe someone like Huey Lewis in the News. That would be pretty cool. I love Huey Lewis. You know, the catalogue is stacked, and yeah, that'd be a romp. You know, we'd be partying with Huey Lewis in the news all night, I reckon. So I'm gonna go with Huey Lewis. Let's stick with that.
Nice. It's definitely one of those artists that you listen to and you're like, oh shit, yeah, I definitely know way more of his back catalogue than I thought I did.
I just think he's got one of the coolest voices going around. It's just pure sex appeal to me. Huey Lewis does something to me. I don't know what it is.
There you go. Sex appeal in the Heartbreaker Club. Love it, mate. I'm absolutely here for it. Okay, and
that's
then
it.
To end on, Jacob, what are you going to go for, or who are you going to go for, sorry, in terms of your security on the front door?
There's only one man I would trust with my life, and that is my dad. I can see my dad being my head of security, my right-hand man, making sure I'm protected at all times, like he's been doing for the last 24 years. You know, and he's got a kind of weird, like, very serious aura. You know, he's kind of a watcher, a protector, just in his sort of natural state. So I reckon we put him on security, we're golden.
Is he the sort of guy that's like a man of few words? Like, he doesn't need to say much and you just know what he means.
Very much so, very much so. We call him Vin. My dad's name's Scott, but he looks a little bit like Vin Diesel. He's got that kind of thug appearance, you know. He's got this nice beard, a nice bald head. He's always been in pretty good shape. But he's a man of few words, and but he does speak his mind when he has to. So I reckon that's the key to a good security guard, in my opinion.
It sounds like he was born to be a bouncer.
He could have been. Maybe in another life he was.
There you go. That is the Heartbreaker Club.
I like it. I like it. You can say g'day to Big Vin at the door when you come on in.
Hell yeah. And he'll just slap you if you're not allowed in.
Well, that's it. That's it. If you ain't wearing your PJs, you're not coming in. He'll slap you silly.
Mate, thanks so much for your time. And yeah, hopefully catch you live again soon.
Absolutely, my friend. Don't be a stranger.
Not a pom. Judging Aussie tunes. Alt Down Under.
Jacob Fitzgerald, man, is he or is he not just an absolute rock star? Love that guy. And he actually called me a rock star, and I was like, mate, you really need a mirror, because I am far removed from how cool you are and how much of a rock star you are. Get on to Jacob right now and look out for that track Sophia that's coming out that he mentioned there in that chat. And yeah, a few shows coming up. He's up at Oxford Art Factory in Sydney on 9th of March. 22nd, he is in Brunswick in Melbourne playing at Howler. And then you can catch him at Shepparton as well, downtown Shepparton, on the 23rd. That's it for another episode of Alt Down Under. Guys, as I say, give us a like, follow, subscribe. Thanks so much. And I'll catch you next time with a fresh interview. Take it easy.
Alternative Down Under.